This morning we'd like to draw your attention to the 10th verse of this second chapter, where Paul has been talking to them concerning our salvation, that it is by grace that we've been saved through faith. Salvation isn't of ourselves, it's a gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. For Paul declares, you are his workmanship. And you've been created together in Christ Jesus unto the good works that God has before ordained that you should walk in them. Saved by grace through faith. That means that there is no way by which you could possibly earn salvation by your good works. In the first three verses of this chapter, Paul tells of our spiritual and moral bankruptcy. He said that we were by nature the children of wrath. That was our nature. I had a sinful nature. Jeremiah the prophet asked, can an Ethiopian change his skin, or the leopard his spots? Then you may also do good that are accustomed to do evil. If an Ethiopian can change his skin or a leopard his spots, then it would be possible for you to change your nature, for you that are evil to do good. But the Bible declares that all of us have sinned, that we have a sinful nature. Peter spoke of those who had escaped the pollutions of the world, but had gone back into them. And concerning those that had turned back to the sinful practices in the world, he said, the proverb is true. Like a dog, they have returned to their vomit, and like a pig to its wallowing in the mud. Why does a pig wallow in the mud? Because that's the nature of a pig. And so Paul is saying that we by nature were the children of wrath, even as others. That is why Jesus said, you must be born again. You've got to have a new nature to live the new life. Self-reformation will never work. There is nothing that we can do to save ourselves. Speaking of our salvation, Paul said, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. There is no law that can be made, that can make you righteous. Salvation comes to us as a gift of God and must be received as a gift. You can't earn it. You earn wages. You can only receive a gift. The wages of your sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Salvation is not something that God owes me. It's not something that I can gain by saying so many prayers, by giving so much money, by witnessing to so many people and reading so many chapters of the Bible. It is a gift of God, and you just have to receive it as a gift. Now, there are many people today who are emphasizing what you should be doing for God. And Jesus spoke of a lot of the things that the Pharisees were doing, and he said, you ought to do these things, but you're missing out on the most important things. emphasizing what man should be doing for God is not a biblical emphasis. The biblical emphasis is on what God has done for you. It's not my work for God that really is of value, but what is of tremendous value is what God's work for me and work in me. That's of the true value. We talk about the free gift of salvation. Though God gives it freely to us, far from a free gift, it cost God dearly to provide your salvation. Peter said, "We have not been redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold from our vain manner of living, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, which was shed without as a lamb without spot or without blemish." I was spiritually bankrupt. I had nothing to pay. I could do nothing to save myself. I had to cast myself upon the mercy and the grace of God and receive by faith that free gift of God. The psalmist wrote, "They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother nor give God a ransom for him." No matter how much money you have, you can't redeem a brother or give a ransom for him. "For the redemption of their soul," the psalmist said, "is costly, and no payment is sufficient." Now, we've all been told lately how that Ted Turner has promised to give $1 billion to the United Nations over the next few years. And we think, man, that's a lot of money, and indeed it is. But the interesting thing, had the papers reported that Ted Turner has given $1 billion to the work of the Lord over the next 3 years, that $1 billion could not gain him one favor in heaven. It could not redeem his soul from sin. All of the money in the world couldn't purchase your redemption. They say that Bill Gates is worth some $30 billion plus. If he gave all of his money, as Jesus said to the rich young ruler who came and said, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said, "Well, if you want to be perfect, go sell everything you have, distribute it to the poor, and follow me." If Bill Gates gave the 30 plus billion to the work of the Lord, but didn't follow Jesus Christ, it couldn't purchase him one paving stone in heaven. I mean, you can't purchase salvation. It's a gift. All you can do is receive this glorious gift that God has offered to us. The young man who came into the discussion in the book of Job said, "Will he esteem your riches? No, not gold or all of the forces of strength. They mean nothing to God. God owes us nothing, nor will he ever be a debtor to you." Paul asked, "Who has given unto God but what God has not recompensed him again?" God will never be a debtor to you. As Paul is talking about our works for God, he is saying they can never earn us a place in heaven. Our salvation is not of works, Paul said, lest any man should boast. Talking of Abraham, who God accounted righteous, he said, how was his righteousness accounted to him? By his works? No. Because if God accounted Abraham's works for righteousness, then Abraham would have something to boast about, but not of the Lord. You couldn't say, "Oh, praise the Lord for what he has done, but you'd be telling what you have done. So with us, if we could be righteous, if we could be saved by our works, we would then be boasting in what we had done. We would have a place to boast, but not in the Lord. But God wants the praise and the glory for his grace that he has demonstrated to us, and thus we are saved by grace through faith, that not of ourselves, a gift of God, lest any man should boast. Paul goes on to say, for we are his workmanship, not my works. That doesn't count. I am his workmanship. It's the work that God is doing in me that has value and that really counts. You are his workmanship. God is working in each of our lives today. And the work that God is doing in our lives today is to prepare us for the works that he has already determined that we should do for him. God has your future all mapped out. He knows exactly what he wants you to accomplish in this world for his glory. And the work that God is doing in our lives today is preparing us to do that work that God has before ordained that we should accomplish for his kingdom. It's really sort of a comfort for me to realize that God has my life all planned out. God has my future all planned out. He knows exactly what he wants to do in and through my life. And he is working in me as he is preparing me to accomplish those works that he has before ordained that I should accomplish for him. Paul, writing to the Philippian church, said, I have not yet apprehended that for which I was apprehended by Jesus Christ. When Paul was on the road to Damascus, the Lord met him, and the Lord called him, and Paul surrendered to the call of the Lord. Now, the Lord said to Ananias, the man in Damascus who came to visit Paul right after his conversion, and he was reluctant to go see Paul because he had heard of Paul's reputation of destroying the church in Jerusalem. And so the Lord, in answering the apprehension of Ananias, said, he is a chosen vessel unto me, and I'm going to show him the things that he must suffer for my sake. And so I wonder, though, when the Lord showed Paul the things that he was going to suffer, if the Lord also showed Paul the glorious things that he would accomplish through Paul's life. I wonder if he said, Paul, I'm going to use you in a marvelous way to bring the gospel to the Gentiles. And with the clarity of the understanding of my grace that I'm going to give to you, you're going to write out letters to the churches, which will be used throughout the churches to really help them to understand this doctrine of grace and all. Or I wonder if the Lord just said, Paul, they're going to beat you. They're going to stone you. They're going to cane you. You're going to have all kinds of problems. You're going to be shipwrecked. You're going to be floating out in the Mediterranean for a day and a night. If the Lord just told him all of the problems, or maybe the Lord shared with him some of the glories, I don't know. But the Lord does work in our lives, and many times the thing that God is doing in us doesn't seem to be very pleasant to us at the moment because we don't understand the purposes that God is working out in us. We are often puzzled by the events that are happening in our lives. And sometimes, like the psalmist, we feel that God has forsaken us and that God isn't hearing our prayers. Things seem to be going from bad to worse. We're going through desperate times of testings. And as we pray, it's as though God isn't listening to our prayers. I've got a fly here that's bugging me, and I'm going to take a moment and kill him, if you don't mind. Teach him to bug me. Oh, did he fly away? I didn't get him all the way. Oh, man. Oh, he won't bug me again, I'm sure of that. Have you ever taken a piece of a puzzle at the beginning of working a puzzle and looked at it and tried to figure out where it fits in the whole picture? At the start of a puzzle, everything seems to be a mystery. We don't understand how the pieces could possibly fit together. And our lives, the segments of our lives, are often like pieces of a puzzle. And sometimes they don't seem to fit. And as these pieces come into our lives, sometimes it pains. Sometimes we just can't understand it. And we are prone to complain about our circumstances. And yet, Paul tells us that God is working. He's working through these different things that we're going through. And all of them are preparation, preparing us for the good works that God has before ordained that we should accomplish for Him. It's hard many times to see how all things are working together for good to those who love God. And there have been occasions, many occasions in my life when I've looked at the things that are happening and I've said, what possible good could come out of this? And our minds and in our hearts, sometimes we've even challenged God. But you see, there are a lot of advantages to coming to this stage of life that I have come to, where most of the pieces of the puzzle are now in place. And now you can see the picture. And now you understand where those pieces fit and how they fit and how they were in an important part to the total picture. Frankly, I will confess to you that I complained oftentimes very loudly to God about that work of preparation in my life, because I had no idea what God was preparing me for. There were times when I thought that God had forsaken me. There were things that were happening to my life that I thought were a curse. And later I found out that God intended them to be a blessing. They were a part of the necessary preparation. God teaches us lessons of trust, but they're not easy. It's not easy at 4 o'clock in the afternoon not to know where the evening meal is coming from for the family. To realize I've got a family to feed and there's nothing in the house and I don't have any money to go to the store. How am I going to feed the family tonight? It's not easy. It's not easy to have the kids show you the socks that are visible through the holes in the soles of their tennis shoes. And have them say, "Daddy, I need a new pair of tennis shoes for school tomorrow." And know you don't have the money to buy a pair of tennis shoes. And wondering, where are you going to get the money for tennis shoes? It's not easy. But yet, it was a very important part of God's work in my life as he was preparing me for the works that he wanted me to accomplish for him. He always came through. He was teaching me that he will always come through and that he has resources that I don't know anything about. And we never went without a meal, never once. The kids never did have to wear the tennis shoes the second day with holes in the soles. God always provided, and sometimes in very interesting, wonderful ways. It used to be that when I was living in Huntington Beach, pastoring there, that 2 o'clock in the morning, phone would ring. I'd get a call from Smith's Mortuary. I was doing first calls for them. I'd go out and pick up the bodies. I got $5 a body. And the phone would ring, and it would be the mortuary in case, "Oh, you don't have to go out." I said, "Yeah, but that's tennis shoes for the kids tomorrow, honey." God provided for their tennis shoes. God works in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. Not easy to discover that you are nothing when you thought you were something. To realize that you weren't doing God a big favor when you surrendered your life to follow him. Not easy to give of your best fleshly efforts and have everything to fall flat. It's not easy to give the best 17 years of your life to something that seems to produce so little fruit. But as I look back on it from this vantage point, I see the hand of God in it all. I see what God was preparing me for. And I wouldn't trade any of those early experiences of the ministry for anything today, because I can see how God was working in me to prepare me for the good works that he had in mind for me to do. I've often said of late, "God, if you'd only told me, you could have saved yourself so much griping." If I only knew, Lord, what you had in mind. If I only knew the work that you were wanting to do one day through my life, Lord, it would have made such a big difference. But it was important that he just teach me to trust, though I don't see the reasons. But just trust. And to come to realize that all things are working together for good to those who love God and are the called according to his purposes. Teaching lessons that someday we would be able to teach others in order that they could be saved some of the painful experiences that we experienced ourselves as God was molding and shaping the vessel that he wanted to use for his purposes and for his glory. You see, had the success come earlier in my ministry, then I would have been attributing it to my capacities and my abilities. But the Lord let me realize that I'm nothing, but through Christ I can do all things. He let me realize that it's not by might nor by power, because I tried with all my might and with all my power, and it didn't happen. But it's by the Spirit of the Lord. And so God needed to take me through that because he wanted to do a marvelous work, but he didn't want me standing up and taking bows for the work that he did, but just to humbly bow my head and say, to God be the glory for the great things he has done. And to recognize that it is the work of God, and to God be the glory. Those times of preparation, the days of little things, are not easy, but they are necessary. And you may not understand the particular experiences that you are going through today. It may be that you're experiencing hardship and suffering and pain, and things aren't going as you had planned or as you wanted them to go. But God is working, and you are his workmanship. God's working in your life today, and he's preparing you for the good works that he already has planned for you to accomplish for his glory. And so may we yield ourselves to the master potter, that he might mold and shape us according to his purposes. And God, help us not to cry ouch so loud when he puts pressure in a certain area that we can't quite understand. He's shaping and molding us into his image, that he might use us for his glory. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for that work that you have done and are doing in our lives today. As you today, Lord, are preparing us for the good works that you have before ordained, that we should walk in them. And so, Lord, help us that we might give ourselves to be trained, that we might be used as you see fit. In Jesus' name, amen. Shall we stand? It should be noted that I'm talking this morning to the believers. If you're not a believer, then you cannot have the same assurance concerning the difficulties that you might presently be going through. You cannot say as an unbeliever, well, all things are working together for good, because that's not true for the unbeliever. God's not working his eternal purposes in your life until you submit and surrender your life to him, that he might do that. And thus, for you who are not believers, this could be disaster. This could be the end. It could be that it's all over for you, that it's down the tubes and there's no recovery and, you know, you're down and out. That's very possible. You have no assurance. Hardships and so forth, there's nothing to assure you. It could be over. But if you're a child of God and you submit your life to him, then we know that all things are working together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So the wisest thing you can do is go back and surrender your life to the Lord. Just say, hey, Lord, it's a mess. Take it and do something with it. And he'll take those loose, tangled ends, and he'll begin to weave his pattern and bring out his purposes through your life. But you've got to surrender your life to him to experience his work in your life. May the Lord bless you as he works in you and as he teaches you those valuable, important lessons that will prepare you to do the good work that he has in mind for you to accomplish for his kingdom. And may God use you mightily in bringing his love to a needy world.